Good morning and welcome to Austin Chinese Church. I'm Dominic and I hope you're comfortable at home with your morning beverage of choice. For those of you who don't know me, I have the privilege to serve as the youth pastor here at Austin Chinese Church. I hope you've had a good week, a safe week, wherever you may be catching our sermon this morning. Back in the beginning of February, I actually had the opportunity to start off our series on Thrive, Living by Faith and Not in Fear, as Pastor Gaylord has just mentioned. And to be honest, for me, life in early February, and maybe for you too, felt like ages ago when we started this series off because so many different things have happened. Life has been completely turned upside down, and we are all living under this new normal. And since then, we've been using Hebrews 11 as a launching point, as a place to look at various heroes of the faith. And these men and women, this listing almost reads like a hall of fame of the Christian faith. And so when you read Hebrews 11, the phrase by faith should jump out at you, because for at least in the ESV, in the English Standard Version, it appears 19 times. So anytime anyone or anything, you see it 19 times over, it's a big, bright, flashing message that we really need to pay attention. And this is how these men and women lived their lives in such a way that honored God. They lived by faith. And so the objective of our series on living by faith is to encourage you, to encourage me to wake up every morning and to answer the call for every Christian to live faithfully. And by taking a closer look at these legendary men and women of the faith, we're learning and we're asking, what are steps of faith that I can take in my own personal relationship with God? As has been the case for the past couple years, our church's theme continues to be disciples who make disciples. And we want to continue to emphasize discipleship to you, because as much as you may or may not know about discipleship, the question still remains, how many of you are either actively discipling someone, have that as an aspiration for yourself, or are being discipled by someone right now? Just imagine if every Christian watching this morning was discipling someone else. How would Austin be a different place? How would your family be different? How would your workplace be different? How would your circle of friends be different? How would your neighborhood be a different place? And to be clear, you don't have to just disciple other Christians. You certainly can disciple someone who isn't currently following Jesus yet. And so this morning's passage is found in Titus 2. And the reason why I wanted to depart from Hebrews 11 this week is that we're getting close to winding down our series on living by faith and not in fear. And as great as it's been to learn from these heroes of the faith, the practical, on-the-ground, everyday question we're faced with is this: what can I do in order to live by faith and not in fear? What can I personally do? Now, Titus is a short letter written by Paul that you can find nearly at the end of the New Testament in your Bible, and you can go ahead and turn there right now with me. And we're going to be starting in Titus 2, verse 11. The main reason why Paul wrote to Titus was that there were Christians who separated their theology, what they believed about God, from their lifestyle and their deeds. This meant that their testimony of these Christians' lives were actually invalidated by their behavior. This is a sort of common response that people will give why they won't consider Christianity for themselves, because they know someone who's claimed to be a Christian but didn't live in a way that was any different from anyone else they were around, or perhaps they even lived hypocritically. And that became a major turnoff. Paul wants followers of Jesus to get both their theology, their knowledge, right, as well as their behavior, their deeds, in proper alignment. And so you see in the passage just before that we'll cover today, in Titus 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul lays out patterns for discipleship through the use of the words older and the use of the word younger. For example, you'll see that Paul says that older men ought to do this, this, and that, and younger men are to do these sorts of things. While the older and younger can certainly refer to age, I think Paul's use also referred to spiritual maturity. Now, the context of where our passage is coming from is really vital to properly understand our passage today, because verses 1 to 10 showed us practically what we're to do when we disciple or are discipled, while our passage today explains why we ought to conduct ourselves in such a way due to what God has done and what God calls his people to do. So whether you're a new Christian or you've been a Christian for a significant part of your life, I know for me, it's easy to look like a committed Christian in one moment and the next moment be a complete hypocrite. And why is that? Well, it's because it's so easy to lose sight that our character is what both God and the world will judge us on. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14 helps us understand that consistency in character will help the public at large, will help non-Christians and Christians alike see the redeeming work that God is doing in your life and point them to Jesus. The truth I believe God is calling you and me to cling on to and ultimately internalize in our own hearts this morning is this, that in order to disciple others, we must be training our character. In order to disciple others, we must be training our character. So we're going to dig more into what I mean by that in a moment. So for now, you can join me in reading Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. I'm going to read that for us. This is the word of the Lord. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Before we continue to dig into God's word, would you please join me as we turn to the Lord in prayer? Father God, we thank you. We can have the privilege to continue to look at your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you help us see the sort of character that you're calling us into, what we can do in our own lives to prepare ourselves so that your Holy Spirit can work in our lives. May we step back, may we let go, may we trust in you that you would do a great and amazing work in us as we listen, as we come before your word this morning. May you be magnified. May you be made beautiful from these unclean lips of mine, so that all who hear might know just how majestic you are. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So, in order to disciple others, we must be training our character. I don't know about you, but when I read Titus 2, 1 to 10, just in the passage before, you can be skimming it right now as you hear me, it's both really inspiring and discouraging at the same time. Let me explain. I'm personally inspired that Paul calls men and women to disciple and to be discipled. And when I see the conduct that Paul calls us to live out, to be this or to be that, it's inspiring to be called into such a challenge. And yet, I find it discouraging in that it doesn't feel like I'm being helped with properly understanding my motivations and how I'm supposed to be dignified and self-controlled and steadfast if right now I'm not like that today. I just can't be my best self without taking steps of progress along the way. It requires training, it requires effort and work to be the follower of Christ that God invites us to become. Titus 2 verses 1 to 10 gives us the call to obedience, but verses 11 to 14 helps us see the why and the how we are supposed to behave this way. So I want to present three ways Titus 2 shares how we can live by faith. We can apply what it means to live by faith and not in fear. So first, I want to propose to us that righteous living can testify to our internal character. Righteous living can testify to our internal character. Second, God calls us to actively train our character. God calls us to actively train our character. And third, by faith, God calls us to engage in discipleship. By faith, God calls us to engage in discipleship. So let's unpack these three points together, shall we? So righteous living can testify to our internal character. Verse 12 tells us that God's grace trains the follower of Christ to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So what does training tell us? Well, first of all, it's a present day, ongoing, daily effort that followers of Christ are called into. Secondly, training tells us that there's a progression that every Christ follower must go through. It can be hard to accept the pace of progression and training, especially if you're young, you're impatient, you just want things to work the way you desire for them to be. The Navy SEALs have an approach with anything new that they learn, and they just use the simple terms to crawl, to walk, and to run. The crawl phase is where you learn the basic skills and the theory behind whatever you're trying to learn for the first time. You're in the walk phase when you've become comfortable and you're making progress, but you haven't formed the hardwired habits and you haven't fully integrated everything you're learning into your life. And then the run phase is when you've developed those habits and it's second nature and you're so comfortable that you're just in this state of flow and things are just moving so naturally because you've put in so much hard work. I think this crawl, walk, run approach is really helpful for us to consider, especially when we're impatient and we either desire to achieve a certain spiritual level at a certain rate, or we haven't put in the hard work to get there yet, but we want the results. For some of us, we get really discouraged with ourselves when we end up placing our achievements before pursuing God. Some of us may be pursuing our academics, our careers, our children, and idolizing these things before we're fully pursuing God. These things in and of themselves aren't bad things, but they're not the best thing that we can pursue in order to testify to what matters most in our lives, the glory of God and Jesus in and through our lives. And the way we publicly live our lives truly can testify to our internal character. We can become known for how we conduct ourselves. But we need to be careful to not just show a nice exterior veneer. In middle school, I attended a Catholic school where there weren't nuns like The Sound of Music, but there were sisters. They were women who served as teachers and administrators. And from the outside, they're not that much different from the average teacher or administrator at a school. But they did commit vows of poverty, of celibacy, and of service. Now, one of them happened to be Chinese. Her name was Sister Lana Chang, and for whatever reason, she definitely looked out for me. And I remember she felt like I was drifting in my conduct and my attitude. And she certainly was right, because I wasn't grounded in anything, and anything wasn't really anchoring me at that time. And I've never forgotten the moment that she pulled me aside and told me, and this moment has always been seared in my mind. She told me this: integrity is who you are when no one is looking. Integrity is who you are when no one is looking. And that's always stuck with me, right? And you could substitute your character with integrity, couldn't you? Your character is who you are when no one is looking. And that's what God ultimately sees. In December 2018, my middle school was on CNN and on the local news outlets in LA, and eventually the story made it to the cover of GQ magazine because Sister Lana and the principal, Sister Mary Margaret, both of whom were teaching and they were administrating at the school, when I was there as a kid, they were caught embezzling $500,000 over the last decade for their own personal use. And I have to be perfectly honest, I was so disheartened because that moment when Sister Lana told me that integrity is who you are when no one is looking has just been an absolute just anchor moment in my life when I wasn't sure what the right things to do were, when I wasn't sure if I should make what sorts of decisions I should be making. That moment always anchored me. And I was so disheartened because the person who taught you that your character, that your integrity is who you are when no one is looking, ended up being not having the integrity to live that truth out herself. That just broke my heart to see that and to hear that. This is a story of an example of how our lives can truly testify to our internal character, and it can either point people towards God or it can point people away from God. Now next, God calls for Christians to actively train our character. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14 again. Followers of Christ are called to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. They're to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, and they're to be zealous for good works. In other words, we need to progress from crawling to walking to eventually running in the development and training of our character. And this requirement is for all Christians and for all who claim to follow Christ. No one is so mature that we can't actively train their character. And the word training here possesses a dual meaning, both to discipline and to educate. And I think Paul is trying to use both discipline and education to help us understand that if we are truly committed to growing in our faith through discipleship, then we need the discipline to address the parts of our lives that are not obedient to God, and we need the education to be brought into the light to recognize the change that needs to happen in our own character. Now, in order to grow in these ways, we need to be engaged in discipleship, which is the point of verses 1 through 10. What are the older and younger men to strive for? What sort of character are older and younger women to aspire to? We need these relationships to be formed with one another in order to help each other with our own experiences and to learn from our own mistakes. I believe Paul is saying that every Christ follower needs to be working on their character for the objective of being in a discipleship relationship. Now, that may not be the appropriate time for you to be in a discipleship relationship, and that's okay. But at some point, God does want you to be in a discipleship relationship. You could be learning from someone spiritually more mature than you. You could be in a discipleship relationship with someone less spiritually mature than you. And you could be discipling someone who currently isn't following Jesus and living life alongside them as you point them to Jesus. I'd encourage you to seek the Holy Spirit's leading to see when and if the Lord desires that you enter into a discipleship relationship. Actively training our character to remove the lawlessness from our character and to purify our character is hard work. It's not easy. Working on our character is difficult. If you exercise and lift weights, do you know what happens to muscle when you lift weights? When you tax your muscles, when you lift, the muscle cells actually literally tear. It's hard work. It hurts. It's not comfortable. Maybe you've experienced that feeling when your body just feels like jello and you're just sore and in pain all over. But in order to become stronger and healthier, what does the muscle do? The muscle repairs itself and it gets bigger and it becomes stronger and it's able to take on a heavier load in the future. And at first, no discernible benefit is obvious. But as you persist, as you continue over time, progress is observed, growth is noticeable. You see, developing your character isn't just for the external testimony to tell others. It's for us to also receive God's grace and salvation and to honor God in anticipation as if Christ were to return today. Now, lastly, by faith, we're to engage in discipleship. Your training can be the everyday work of just developing your own personal relationship with God. It could be reading books, listening to podcasts, watching videos to help you learn more. For some of you, it may just be Nike time, just to just do it. Your training could also be stepping out in faith to find someone whose faith journey resonates with you to disciple you for the purpose of taking what you've learned and sharing that with someone younger than you for you to disciple. If you're looking for someone to disciple you, I want to encourage you to be bold in asking. If you're looking to disciple someone, I want to encourage you to pray that God would place someone on your heart. You know, have a conversation with Pastor Gaylord, have a conversation with Pastor Art, and have them support you and encourage you and to provide the courage to approach the person that God has placed on your heart. Now, like I've shared, instead of being inspired by our series of these heroes of the faith, maybe you're in fact discouraged because you feel like you could never be a Noah, you could never be an Abraham or a Moses or a David. I believe God is encouraging you right now to recognize that the development of your character is a process that requires intentional hard work to dig deep into the deep recesses of our soul and to bring these before God. In Psalm 51, David provides us a roadmap of what it's like to dig deep into your soul, to confess your sins and your shortcomings to God, to pray repeatedly and to pray expectantly, not shying away from the hard work of training our spiritual character. I want you to cast your vision of discipleship to recognize what sort of impact a discipleship culture could have here at ACC. What sort of eternal ripple effects would a discipleship culture have on history? I believe this is what God is inviting us into today. After I personally came to faith, I asked my Sunday school teacher to just disciple me, because he was just a regular part of my life. And to be honest, I didn't really know any better. We didn't like call it discipleship. We met and he challenged me to become more like Christ. He taught me how to study the Bible. He answered questions that I had. He listened to me as I tried to just wrestle with life. He gave me haircuts when I had hair. He answered questions that I had. He gave me rides when I needed a ride. I don't think we ever set out for a formal agenda, but in everything, he always found a way to point me back to Jesus. I think there's a group of us that can feel like discipleship is such this big, massive thing when it's just living life together and pointing each other to Jesus. And maybe for a season, the other person will be doing more of the pointing. And for another season, you'll be doing more of the pointing. As we reflect on the heroes of faith from Hebrews 11, what does it look like to live by faith? How do we apply the by faith part of our series? This morning, I believe Paul wants us to disciple others and be discipled. As a prerequisite to discipling others, he's calling upon us to train our own character. How soon God is calling you to disciple someone or to be discipled is between you and God. But it is clear that we need one another to grow in our faith and in our character. We have the opportunity to show the consistency of our faith, and our life has the opportunity to be a testimony to others. I want to encourage you to pray right now and ask God, what do you desire from me? Should I ask someone to disciple me? Should I ask someone to disciple them? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and convict your heart how you need to grow in your character to become increasingly more obedient to the person and likeness of Christ. Training our character means we are incrementally more obedient to God, incrementally more like Christ, and God is preparing you and me to step out in faith and to disciple others. Even though right now we need to socially distance ourselves from one another, let's recall that in order to disciple others, we must be training our character ourselves. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we know that this is a time where, as strange as it is to need each other and yet not be available to one another, Lord, we ask that you would continue to help us grow each other, to challenge each other, to push each other towards you, to point each other towards the cross. Lord, we hope that you would help all of us who follow Jesus to look to the cross, to take up our own cross, and to walk towards Calvary together. Help us encourage each other when it feels too hard, when it feels overwhelming. Help use one another so that we might overcome our own fears. Holy Spirit, work in us to do a work that we cannot do ourselves. Encourage our hearts beyond what we think we are capable of doing, so that our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates might come to know you. They might come to see that our lives are not just a veneer of Christianity, but there is a deep rooted authenticity to our faith, and we are growing because we are discipling one another, we're discipling others, we are being discipled ourselves. We thank you for our time to come before you in your word. We pray that your word would convict us this coming week. Christ in me, we pray. Amen.